back on Canuck Central. It's Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. Coming up this weekend, the Abbotsford Canucks continuing into the Calder Cup Pacific Division Finals against the Colorado Eagles. First game tomorrow at the Abbotsford Center. You can find tickets at the Abbotsford Canucks website. Now joining us, defenseman with the Abbotsford Canucks, it is Victor Mancini. Thanks for this, Victor. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
We're doing well, man. It's been kind of a whirlwind season for you. How have you transitioned over to the West Coast? How's it been? Or you been too busy to kind of even think about it yet?
No, it's been really fun. I think I've just kind of been enjoying where I'm at, trying to do as much as I can in Vancouver and Abbotsford, try to get to know the city a little bit and hang out with some new teammates, and it's been a really good time.
Have you found any of the good Italian spots around town yet? I'm trying to help you out, man. You know?
If you got recommendations, let me know. But yeah, I've been trying to pick and juice some places. I've had some really good meals, so...
It's pretty good, you know, and it is one of the things about Vancouver. There's a lot of good stuff, but you kind of got to look for it a little bit. You've been on this run here with Abbotsford. You guys heading to the third round now. Things have kind of really come together. How has it been as a group going through this playoff run?
It's been really fun, especially to do it with a great group of guys. We've all been really excited. I think we've really shown what we can do these past games. We're really excited for these future games as well. And yeah, just a lot of excitement going into these games, especially starting at home.
Well, and you played some AHL playoff games last year with Hartford as well. And considering how you split your time between NHL teams this year and the AHL, how do you feel experience-wise how this is all going for you and how much you're learning with each game?
Yeah, I think... You know, starting off my pro career in Hartford with those playoff games and then coming here, right, you're playing very meaningful games. Obviously, the level really takes a step up with physicality and speed, and, you know, every play means something more. So I think it's good that, you know, I get these games under my belt and that experience under my belt, and it's going to really help me in the future.
It's been a pretty quick rise through the ranks for you. Drafted in 2022. I know you're drafted as a bit of an overager, but your development since turning pro has happened pretty quickly. You know, you made the Rangers out of camp. Just how have you dealt with all of this and how you continue to keep working towards your potential?
I've just really been enjoying the ride, honestly. It's been so much fun this past year. I think going into training camp with the Rangers at the beginning of the season, I didn't want to put myself in a box. I didn't want to be someone who I wasn't, but I just wanted to go out and put my best foot forward, play to my strengths. And yeah, like I said, just enjoy the ride. It's been really special being able to be in New York and in Vancouver as well. And all the new teammates and the places that I've been able to play and the crowds, it makes it fun, you know, coming to the rink every day and wanting to get better.
Well, one thing that's very clear from watching you playing the NHL games here in Vancouver is the fact that you have a lot of really enticing tools. Side, you skate well, you move the puck well, you can carry the puck well, have a good shot, and defensively, you know, you have some good acumen as well. So it's a lot of tools there. And the fact that, you know, the reports we've been getting from you playing in Abbotsford now is how you're even taking games on more offensively, making more of an impact. How much do you feel like you're still growing as far as developing your game and, to your point, not putting yourself in the box and limiting yourself?
I think, yeah, coming to Abbotsford, you know, playing, just, you know, sticking with the things that I'm good at, working the things that, you know, I want to work on. Obviously, you know, coming to Abbotsford, I think just kind of being able to come in and help this team any way I can, being able to play within their system, play the game that's put in front of me, try not to force plays. And I think a big thing for me is now consistency. You know, taking the tools that I have and being able to execute plays every single time.
How has the run through the end of the season playing with the big club helped you in this playoff run here, if at all?
Yeah, it's helped with the experience part, obviously. Just playing against this competition, right? You're playing against some very good players in both leagues. And I think the physicality of both leagues, that it sets you up really well for playoff hockey. You got to make decisions at a fast pace, just keeping my head up. Honestly, I just go out and I just want to play to my strengths. Like I've said before, I want to make stops quickly in the D zone, be physical, make a good first pass, good outlet pass in the D zone. So it's kind of just sticking with the things that are a part of my game, no matter which league.
Us normal folk are all curious. What's it like playing with Quinn Hughes?
It's pretty fun. the things that guy can do on the ice, it's really special. It was great being able to play some games as his D partner and get to communicate with him on the ice and on the bench and how he sees plays and trying to learn from him. But also the fact that, when he's on the ice and when he has the puck, just his ability to make amazing plays with the puck and without the puck, and he just kind of brings guys to him, brings defenders to him, and it kind of opens up these plays and where he can give other guys the puck. So just the opportunities that he creates are really cool.
Yeah, he's a really exciting player to watch, and it has been really fun to see what he's really done over the last little bit. And the guy that helped coach you guys on the back end is now the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, Adam Foote, being named a head coach here officially yesterday and introduced to the media today. What can you tell us about working under Adam Foote, and what do you think of him becoming the head coach?
Really excited for Footy and that he got the head coaching job. Just with the past few months that I got to spend with him in Vancouver, I feel like I really made strides in that small amount of time in my game. So really happy that he's still going to be with the Canucks. And I think, I'm really interested to see, how our team is and what he brings as a head coach. And I feel like it's a guy in our locker room that we all like to be around when he was a D coach. So I think we're all really pumped up to play in front of him.
With this run in Abbotsford, those last two games against Coachella as a group, you only allow one goal. I know Shelov's played a big part in that, but as a group, how have you come together defensively and how that translates to playoff hockey?
We've been playing some really consistent hockey. Obviously, it helps with Artie. He's been playing amazing. I always know I don't want to make too many mistakes, but I know if I make one, he's definitely covering for me. So that's always, always boosts your confidence as a D-man. But, just the way we've been playing so consistently, we're making smart decisions with the puck. No matter if we're up a goal, down a goal, we stay even keeled on the bench. I think our team just has a great mindset, and it's really helping us propel forward.
Well, the really interesting thing about the team, too, is 10 of you guys played games in the NHL as rookies this season. What is that like, having so many teammates that you played games with and played big NHL games this season?
It's pretty cool. Honestly, spending time with those guys in Vancouver, too, allowed me to get closer with them, know them more as players and person or people off the ice. So then coming back to Vancouver, we all knew that we wanted to come in, or sorry, not to Vancouver, to Abbotsford. We wanted to come in and just make a difference and help this team out. And I feel like we've been doing a pretty good job.
Hey, Victor, really appreciate the time. We'll let you know on some of those Italian spots around town for you to go to. All right.
All right. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
There's Victor Mancini joining us here on Canucks Central. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah.
Yeah. Engaging young man, right?
And really well spoken.
Yeah. And he has a lot of really exciting tools. It's about how you put them all together as far as how it's going to go. But, this Abbotsford team has a chance to go really deep here. The playoff, the next round begins on Friday. And this is a team that the experience these guys were getting is valuable.
Yeah.
Obviously you'd love to have, you wish they got NHL experience, a lot of them this season, as far as the postseason goes, but this is going to be valuable, especially for a guy like Mancini. Like when you go through his games played so far,
yeah,
he hasn't even played 100 pro games.
Yeah. It's been a pretty quick rise for him, right? Like, he's now played the 31 games at the NHL level between New York and Vancouver this season, but his pro career just started last fall when mm-hmm. he graduated out of school and went to the Hartford Wolfpack, drafted in 2022 after being a bit of an overager, was overlooked. An interesting path to the NHL for Victor Mancini. But like, you come away every time you watch him, just how many tools he has to be able to make it at the highest level.
Yeah, and the thing, honestly, the one tool that I was most impressed by was his ability to not only get shots through, but create rebounds, because his shot is heavy and deceptive. And that's a real nice tool to have, especially, I know that Canucks fans are sick and tired of seeing defensemen shoot point shots, mm-hmm. right? But you're seeing, especially in the postseason, a lot of the offense is coming from point shots and screens. Like, that's a thing that good teams use to their advantage in the postseason. You see it, I know it's boring, but it's something that does matter. And he can really provide that. Like, and I think when you have a guy like that on the point, especially on a team that does get a, you know, does funnel some other chances towards the point, and we'll see what happens here with Adam Foote as the head coach. Like, he's a guy that can make a difference in that regard. I have no idea what his ceiling is. And when he was first traded here and you asked scouts and you asked some guys who've watched him, they would say that, you know, maybe he's going to be a third pair NHL defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying he will be more, but I'm not dismissing the idea.
Right.
And the main reason for it is he's played 85 games in the AHL and NHL combined, regular season and postseason so far.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of games. And I know you mentioned he was a bit of an overager. He was 20 years old, almost 20 when he was drafted, and he's 22 years old now. But in 2 years, what can this guy be?
Yeah.
And I think it's exciting. And maybe he'll end up peaking as a number five defenseman. But if you're a right-handed defenseman who's a number five, that's a really nice, valuable asset to have.
Well, and I mean, he's only going to get better with more experience, right? Some of those reads at times gave him trouble at the with the Canucks this year. But if he gets there, if he can make those strides and continue to develop, it doesn't hurt to have a 6'3", smooth skating, right shot D-man anywhere in your lineup. So we'll see where this goes. Abbotsford playing tomorrow, May 16th. 7 o'clock at the Abbotsford Center. It's game one of a best of five series against the Colorado Eagles. The way it works in the Calder Cup playoffs, Abbotsford does not have home ice advantage in this series, so they will play the first two games on home ice, and then the following three games, 3, 4, and 5, if necessary, will be played in Colorado.
Yeah, so it's going to be really exciting.
And going up against Jason Megna, of course.
Yeah. Well, they'll take Megna down. Jason Megna has no chance.
Canucks legend.
Yeah.
Jason Megna on the Colorado Eagles side of things.
I love this text from Raymond. You guys talk to Rutherford and make us wait to discuss it is hilarious. Yes, because we had Mancini on. It's Mancini. Reach says Mancini. I know Tom texted it and he was waiting for that, and you obliged with the pronunciation.
Yes.
Others are not as eager or as excited about the pronunciations. But we'll leave it be.
I hope Victor's okay with it. Yeah. You know?
I don't know. I couldn't tell if you liked it.
It's not an incorrect way of pronouncing the name.
No, it's not.
But also Mancini isn't incorrect either. It's just a more anglo-sized version of the name.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, the proper pronunciation of his name is how he wants it pronounced. Is that what
I guess
you think?
Fair.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But we'll leave it at that for the time being. But as far as Rutherford, and I think, you know, there's a lot of intrigue about a lot of the things that he said, and there's a lot to get to. We'll get to the mailbag, and then coming up at 5:30 after the mailbag, we'll also get into more about this, and we'll get to more of your questions and comments. So, you know, we have a lot to get to here throughout the show. But yeah, Rutherford had a lot of interesting things to say.
So Jim Rutherford, you know, he never avoids a question too much.
No, he will not cheat you out of an answer.
And this wasn't the most explosive of interviews he has given, but there was a lot to chew on there. And I guess, you know, we can start with Quinn Hughes and the follow-up on the comment about he wants to go play with his brothers. And when you asked that, as directly as he did, he didn't hide from it. It was maybe an opportunity for him to back off of it a little bit.
Yeah, I mentioned in one of the interviews, he was kind of joking about some of the Hughes stuff. So I'm like, I know you've said you've joked about it. So I'm like, I'm giving you the chance to say it's a joke because you said it was a joke before. But really, do you have confidence you can keep him? And he's like, it's common sense. He might want to play with his brothers.
Yes.
Which, is an honest answer, but it doesn't make you feel any better as a Canucks fan.
Doesn't make you feel more confident that Quinn Hughes is staying for the long term. And he also says that, you know, Quinn is going to evaluate it on a year-to-year basis. Mm-hmm.
And it's something you're not getting an answer for now.
Yeah.
The earliest is perhaps next offseason. But it's one of those things. He said 2 years. Now, I know in a podcast he mentioned perhaps the trade deadline and the final year of his contract being the real pressure point because you can't let him walk as a free agent. He's too valuable.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't let that happen, right? But
it's kind of like, not that it is this, but it's kind of this. Like, it's similar to Mitch Marner. Like, you can't let that player walk for free. And
no.
The Leafs are going to probably lose Mitch Marner for free this summer. And like, that's just not a scenario that the Canucks can afford to go down with Quinn Hughes, one of the, 10 most valuable players in the league?
Ultimately, I don't think that's going to be something that's going to happen, and we're not going to be debating it. Now, could it happen that they trade him at that deadline potentially, and then we debate whether they should have traded him earlier? That may happen, but I'm not going to get into that now, right?
Because that's way too far down the line right
but
now.
But what's going to be more immediately down the line for us is this offseason. And Quinn evaluates it by year-to-year basis.
Yeah.
They don't know if Quinn's going to stay here, but he said they're going to do everything they can. Everything they can includes improving the roster. We asked if he's going to, you know, how do you navigate being aggressive but also not being desperate and reckless?
Mm-hmm.
And he said they're not going to be desperate.
But they are aggressive.
Very aggressive. Like, he's the guy who said, like, they may not have cap space come July 1st because that's how aggressive they're going to be in the trade front.
None of... look, everything Jim Rutherford just said and spoke with us on gives you more confidence about how make or break this offseason is for this era of the Vancouver Canucks, right? I guess we can call it the Quinn Hughes era of the Vancouver Canucks, which has a time limit on it for the time being. And they need drastic improvement over the next short while to prove to Quinn that this is a place that he can win long-term and it's worthy of staying. The one feather in their cap is they're going to have more money to be able to offer to Quinn than any other team when he is eligible for an extension. That's something that might help them in this conversation. But we all know with the ambition that Quinn has, he wants to win and he wants to be given a chance to win. So that means being aggressive this offseason, most likely in trade.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be reluctant to trade some of their defensemen, as he mentioned. And they're going to be aggressive. So all of those things point to this being a very, very, very big offseason for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and he started and he even foreshadowed it by saying that we hope to have more news coming for you guys the next, 4 to 6 weeks.
Which would be good.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we love news.
We'll take it.
We're not going to turn down any news when it comes around to the Vancouver Canucks. Hopefully good news. Like, we don't like all the bad news. Some of it could be kind of funny sometimes, but the really bad news, that's, you know, it's kind of toxic. But
yeah.
But they're going to be making trades. It's very clear. But if they don't want to trade defensemen.
They're already, you know, sort of setting up the market for what trades could potentially be out there.
Yeah, now, generally speaking, when Rutherford speaks like this, typically things happen.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a guy that says things like this and then doesn't come through with action. You know, like, anytime he's kind of said, hey, we're going to make trades, we're looking to do this.
The Gary Mason interview is essentially just setting us up for a JT Miller trade.
And even
a few days later.
Yeah. And even when they acquired Lindholm, I know that day he was on radio or the day before, and he kind of foreshadowed a move is coming.
Yeah.
But they were very clear about they had a desire to improve the team and they were going to be adding to the team, and they did. So when he speaks like that, is that because he just thinks he's going to get it done, reach, or they have an idea, not you know for sure of like who the absolute target is, but they have a general idea of what's available and they feel like they're going to be able to get something done? Like, do you think it's that, or they're going into it trying to find out?
I feel like they have a pretty good idea of what the market is. It's one thing that they've sort of displayed in their entire time here is that they have a really good understanding of what's out there and what's available on the market and what it's going to take to get those things.
You may have not liked the execution of the trades,
yeah,
but you're right. Like, they have a good idea what's going on. So given how, I wouldn't say he was cavalier, but how confident he was about making trades and improving the team, that they have a pretty good idea about what they're going after here.
It's pretty obvious. And one of the things about the defense core is, like, you look at it now, and they signed Valander, and Alvin mentioned it today when he spoke alongside Adam Foote. You know, Tom Valander's spot in the organization is going to depend on Tom Valander. It could be on the big club. It could be with Abbotsford. It's going to be up to him how he performs this summer and how he sets himself up in training camp. But with the way that it's rounded out, like, it looks really good. You feel really confident. It is, as far as goaltending and defense are concerned, again, they've spoken about this, but it's where you are really confident about this organization. But you trade one of those pieces and maybe you're not as confident about it anymore. And that's, you know, that speaks to the lack of depth and how, yeah, okay, getting one or two players, as Jim mentioned, can be the thing that drastically changes your ceiling and your outcomes for next year. But what pieces are you taking away that help you get there? And I think that's the fine line that they are straddling right now, because the long-term future is already in not such great shape.
Yeah. And there is, I wouldn't call it a logjam, but there's clearly depth on the blue line. Even as it stands, you go through the right side in Villander signing and Rutherford. We didn't get into Villander with him again. Like, you know, I wish we had more time. There are a number of things we wanted to ask. There are too few more things that we wanted to get to. But you go through it. You have Filip Hronek. Myers is signed for two more years. You have Villander. You have Mancini.
Yeah.
That's four righties, which is nice. Like, you have an extra guy here potentially, right? And then you go look at the left side. You have Hughes, Pettersson, and Pettersson. And you might add a veteran. Plus, you have Kudryavtsev, you have Mignot, so you have some depth there, right? But I can understand why you want to keep those seven together, right? Like,
yeah.
I get, like, Mancini's the seven, and injuries always happen. Like, I get why you don't want to move any of those guys. But is Lekkerimäki going to be the guy? I was going to call him Lekkerimäki Lekkerimäki, but Lekkerimäki, like, is he going to be the guy that we're going to keep the closest eye on? He said they don't want to trade, you know, I'm not trying to put words in their mouth,
yeah,
but they said they don't want to move the defense, and I can understand if you don't want to move any of those, you know, three young defensemen of DPD, Villander, and Mancini.
Well, I think the obvious part of this is, like, yeah, you might be okay with moving a defenseman, but unfortunately, and I don't mean to sound rude to these guys, but it's probably, like, if you were to have your druthers, it would be Kudryavtsev or Mignot. You wouldn't have to draw from the guys that you've already seen at the NHL level and you feel really good about, or Valander, who you spent an 11th overall draft pick on. Lekkerimäki does feel like he's in an interesting spot. He is a winger, so intrinsically there's less value in that player. All these things sort of add up, and you kind of connect the dots and wonder, is that the player that ends up being the centerpiece of a deal to acquire a top six center for the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, and honestly, like, we've talked about this before, if you go past those guys, how much value does Soria Minyu have in trade? Kirill Kudryavtsev, really nice young player. How much value does he truly have in trade? And I see this text, you know, it says, loud Titans fan, Lekkerimäki is the only forward we have. We have zero young forward prospects. It's like, but that's the thing. You're either trading one of the defensemen you don't want to trade, or you're trading one of your forward prospects that you have very few of. The trade route's not easy.
No.
And you're going to have to part with something that you don't like to part with to make a deal happen. Like, no one's giving you a second line center for your scraps. Like, your scraps are not good enough.
Well, and even the 15th overall pick is probably not enough on its own. To get a second line center
now,
depending on age, I guess, and years of control, maybe some other factors could play in there.
Now, if you start, you know, packaging things together, it's say the 15th, a roster player, and then you're adding one of those other prospects, do you cobble something like that together potentially for somebody? Yes, but I don't know if the player you're getting for that type of package is the type of needle mover that you're hoping to acquire. You know, like, it may not be that class of player. It might be a lower class that's really good, but it may not be truly a player that moves the needle as much as you hope for. And that's going to be the question. Like, if you want that legitimate high-end player that might be available, if they are, like, it's very hard to do that without trading something that you might regret down the road.
Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah. We'll take more of your texts in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, we're going to have a mailbag. So your questions for us, as we've put that question out earlier today on Twitter, and we've been compiling the best questions for today, but we'll also take more after 5:30 as well. Guests on Sports at 6:50, call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. You are listening to Canuck Central. Final segment here on Canuck Central. It's brought to you by BC Liquor. Until May 31st, explore their exceptional selection and save. Like $7 on 36 packs of Old Style Pilsner. Visit your nearest BC Liquor today. Enjoy responsibly. No guests in this final hour of Canuck Central, but guests on Sportsnet 650. Call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. Sat, we've got a lot of reaction in the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox.
Tons. So we got one a bit earlier.
Yes.
We didn't get to this one, but Tim sent me a DM about this.
Okay.
And he said, how about this for an idea? You take on Tyler Seguin to get Maverick Bourque.
In what way?
You take on the Seguin deal to get Maverick Bourque. Does that move the needle for you?
So you'd have two more years of Tyler Seguin.
Yeah. Eating up a lot of cap.
Yeah, eating up close to $10 million on the cap.
But you're getting like a dirt cheap player in Maverick Bourque.
Yeah. That's intriguing. Actually,
it's intriguing, but do you think this team does it? I might consider, like, you know, like we got people on Twitter being like, you guys, you know, we're encouraging the Canucks to be all in.
Yes.
I would love to see the Canucks be patient and not be all in. I just don't know if they can afford to do that because of Quinn Hughes, right? Like, that's the reality. And I'm not against making your team better. Just don't do it recklessly. But I would love.
It's also like they've told us what their plan is, and they're going to be aggressive.
Yeah, and you know, we can sit here and pontificate and say, do this instead, and we do sometimes or whatever, but I think it's interesting to try to figure out what they're going to do and what it's going to look like and then project from that point on or whatever. But nonetheless, I think I love that idea, though. Like, hey, sure, get that young player, eat cap for a couple of years. You got so many young guys coming through right now anyways, and if you can have some success and let those guys grow, in 1 or 2 years, like, your team could look really good. And, you know, when especially when Sagan's deal is done. But is Quinn waiting around for that? So that, you have to ask yourself that, right? And I'm not sure that's the type of move that they would ultimately do. Maybe they do, but if I had to guess, I'd say no. But I like the ingenuity.
It's getting creative, which this team might have to do quite a bit of. Dallas, obviously, with a couple of big free agents in Jamie Benn and Matt Duchene that they probably would like to bring back. Doing that around Tyler Seguin's big deal might be difficult to do. Plus, they've got Anessa Lindell contract extension kicking in next year. Wyatt Johnston's making over $8 million next year as well. So there is a lot to think about on that front. There was a text earlier, a question that I can't seem to find who sent it in. So I apologize to who sent it in, but essentially the question was, could you swap Besser for Marner? And since both teams are losing, likely losing these players for free, could you swap Besser for Marner and make that work? So the news today after the Leafs completely, how do I put this politically?
crapped the bed.
Yeah.
Didn't show up.
Yeah.
Coward.
After they did the Leaf thing and didn't show up in a playoff game again.
Yeah.
Especially Mitch Marner. There's word today from Chris Johnson that Mitch Marner seems more willing to test free agency now.
Listen, Chris is doing his job.
Yeah.
That's what an insider is supposed to do. Who the hell from his camp is releasing this stuff during, like, is that how checked out this dude is?
And the people around him last night, man.
That is like, the series isn't even over, but let me make sure that I get the message out that I'm not staying here. That I'm testing free agency.
Yeah.
Are you not focused?
He didn't play like it last night.
So we were talking about Mitch, right? Because he played well, and I'm not going to say what Sean Avery called him. I was out of pocket.
Yeah.
It was rude.
Yeah.
But
it was funny, though.
Well, it was a little rude, but
yes. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I laughed.
It's just really out of pocket. But nonetheless, we saw the way he played in the Four Nations, and for the most part, he was good. Like, he set up the McDavid game winner. Great play that he made, right? The first series against the Ottawa Senators, we sat here and talked about, Marner, for all the criticism about him in the playoffs, like, he's showing up big right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's gone again. And you go from like, maybe this guy has figured it out or is on the verge of figuring it out. And maybe this is a guy you can count on in the playoffs. And now all that is coming crashing down again because of how soft he was, especially in game five.
This is a player that doesn't seem to want to borrow a term from Rick Tocchet, does not want to embrace the hard.
No, not at all.
He does not like physical contact. He does not like when games get hard. He does not like when teams press him, push him, and he stays out on the perimeter. And he plays the most regular season style of game imaginable. And yeah, you need guys that help you get to the postseason. And if you sign Mitch Marner for how much he's going to cost in free agency, he will help you get to the postseason on a consistent basis. He'll give you 90 points. There's no doubts in my mind that Mitch Marner is going to be a perennial guy that gets over a point per game. But he's also going to be a guy that doesn't help you once you get to the postseason. And I can't imagine paying a guy like that $13+ million.
Yeah, it's tough. And I know there are people listening now that are saying, hey, there's a player in Vancouver who did some similar things in Elias Pettersson. I'll say this about Pettersson, and we've criticized him and talked about him for over a year now, right? It's been over a year since the playoffs for last year, right? So it's been a year of discussing his game not being where it needs to be. So we've all said a lot of different things. But as much as, yes, he wasn't good enough in the playoffs, and as much as, yes, you want to see him be a bit tougher, but we complain about him getting knocked down all the time. At least he's in a position to get knocked down.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the battle. Every year he's amongst the league, not the league leaders, but team leaders in hits. Like, this year, of course, nowhere near Sherwood, but he's kind of around the 100 level, right? He's over hit per game. Like, he gets in there, right? He blocks shots more than most forwards on the team do. But these are not qualities we talk about when it comes to Mitch Marner at all.
No.
So Pettersson needs to get better in the playoffs. And we're not sitting here living in a glass house necessarily and pointing at Mitch Marner. And there's no doubt Pettersson has to be better. But I see Pettersson being in the battle more than Mitch Marner in the playoffs. And that's not necessarily a compliment, but that's more of an indictment on where Marner's game is.
Yeah, the bar is really low that Mitch Marner sets. Yeah. So, he's a fascinating guy. I kind of feel like Marner's the type that's probably going to go to like a very low-key market, make a bleep ton of money in a low-key market, and just kind of live the easy life. That's the way he plays with the Leafs, and it seems like if he's already thinking about free agency and not Game 6 against the Florida Panthers, then it seems like that's where it's headed.
And maybe it's somebody that he knows or something that's saying. I can't imagine the agent would say that. It's just such a bad time to be really, to be saying stuff like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot that Mitch Marner and the Leafs find themselves in yet again, but tomorrow is probably the funeral. Embrace the nasty. That's the word I should have used. Mitch Marner does not embrace the nasty.
It doesn't embrace the nasty. The more I think about it, it doesn't sound good. You know, when I hear you say it like that, it just doesn't come off. I know Gordy Locke was also making fun of me, saying, is Sack going through puberty mid-interview with Rutherford? I lost my voice over the course of the last weekend, so it's still recovering.
Justin and East Van with some mailbag overflow. You have been given $17,000 to spend all in one day. What does your day look like?
Probably,
one day,
17. I mean, I
got to spend it all in one day. Well, I'm probably going to get fitted for the nicest set of golf clubs that I can.
Yeah.
Finally, I mean, there goes 10 grand, you know.
There you go, 10 grand. The golf clubs.
That's the right answer.
Yeah. I was thinking about, like, what can I do that's smart with $17,000? A lot. You can do a lot of things that's smart with $17,000. Like, I want to resist the urge of just doing that. What? Like, just going spending on golf clubs and a bunch of different things because you have the cash
to do it.
Stop
being so, like, responsible.
I know.
Throw it on Rudder Black.
Yeah.
Why not? Maybe it'll be $32,000 or nothing.
Yeah. Look at this. Would you want a mystery box or $17,000? I'll take the mystery box.
It might be $17,000.
It could be less. I don't want to think about that. All right. Would you trade Pettersson for number one overall?
But
also that's not possible.
No, that's not happening. But yeah, I mean, if you're trading Pettersson, I think getting the first overall pick is a good thing to get, generally speaking. Right?
Generally, it would be.
Yeah. Oh, we had this question from Raymond a bit earlier about a guy like Garland, for instance. What do you think Garland's trade value is? And I think that's interesting. Like, do you think Garland's trade value reach is higher than a second-round pick currently?
He's a year away from free agency.
Mm-hmm.
He is a perennial 50-point scorer.
Yeah.
Good player. Well-liked. Small, so that docks him a few points. Yeah, it's probably a second rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brock Besser couldn't get you a first round pick at this year's deadline. You're telling me Connor Garland's going to get you a first round pick?
Probably not.
As a rental?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'd say that's,
I mean, maybe if you get a full season, you could make that argument, but even still.
So that's why I mean, like, if Garland's trade value in and of himself, I don't think is significantly high. Could there be a trade where he's part of it? That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Philadelphia could be looking for more, you know, ready to go wingers.
Yeah. Bring me Owen Tippett.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're
Garland for Tippett.
I'm sure they'll trade the bigger goal scorer for the smaller guy that doesn't score a ton of goals.
Yeah.
Although Tippett's not a perfect player. I'm just kind of, you know, joking here. But I can see. Let's say the Canucks are trying to acquire. Okay, let me just hypothetically throw a name out there. Let's say the Canucks like Alex Lafreniere, and they think he might be able to play center.
Yeah.
And let's say the Rangers also want to be able to get somebody back in return that can help him from this year. Would a package surrounding the 15th overall pick, a guy like Garland, and somebody else?
Yeah. Can Garland be the roster player in your package for a top six center? I guess it is possible. It depends on the situation that he would be going to. I think what hurts Garland is the lack of control in that conversation.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Right? Like, you know, obviously Alex Tuch has a lot more value than Garland ever did. But, when he was part of the Eichel trade, one of the things that was so appealing for Buffalo about Alex Tuch, he was not only was he, you know, a perfect fit for them, been a local guy to Buffalo and all that, but he was signed long-term on a very good contract, right? So I think Garland's contract, it's, it makes him more tradable, but it doesn't mean he's got great value attached to him.
Yeah, I think he's tradable. You're right. It's just the value, I don't think it's significant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting roasted for my math. So I said $32,000, double your money. I was thinking $16,000, yes. $17,000. But yeah, SAT math,
that's not great.
SAT math is not good. Okay. No, this is why we try not to do math on the air.
Don't try to do the maths on the air. So Adam Foote is the new head coach. That was announced earlier today. Tim is asking, did we compare Eichel to Lafreniere? No, we did. I don't think we did.
Do we? I don't think we did.
I definitely did not.
No. Did you mention, Alex Tuch?
I think
you mentioned.
I mentioned Alex Tuch as a roster player that was included in a big trade for a center.
Yes.
And Garland doesn't have anywhere near that type of value.
Nowhere near that, no. That's why I say I think if I have to put like a valuation on it, probably second round pick value.
Yeah. This text comes in. DPD needs to be untouchable. The rest of the prospects are on the table. We will regret any DPD trade.
I see it. I can understand why people feel that way.
I wouldn't say untouchable. You know,
but I get why people feel that way.
The untouchable thing is like a bridge too far for me.
It is.
I don't want to like say that I'm down on DPD or anything, but untouchable is a little bit too much.
This is going to be like the same discussion we had about must-win games when you were away a couple weeks ago with Ben and Bick were going at it. And it's like, by definition, yes, not untouchable because, you know, just like it's not a must-win game technically until you actually must win. Like,
yes.
By definition, right?
It is a must-win game for the Washington Capitals tonight.
Yes.
It is a must-win game for the Winnipeg Jets tonight.
Yeah, and yeah, tomorrow will be what? Leafs play tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow's a must-win game for the Leafs. Like, yeah. Those are must-wins, right? And untouchables, nobody's untouchable because Wayne Gretzky got traded.
Yes.
Like, technically, nobody's untouchable. But for all intents and purposes, right now, Quinn Hughes is all but untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
The Canucks don't want to trade DPD, of course.
No.
And they don't want to trade Vilander. They don't want to trade a lot of these guys. But if they're going to try to make the team better, and this is what Rutherford said himself to us, that they have to be open to all possibilities.
Yeah.
And they have to consider all these possibilities to make the team a lot better. So it might happen, but I understand the reticence from fans, right? Because how often do you see guys his size in today's game come along and display the qualities that he has?
Yeah,
they're rare.
It's rare. But like, you know, if this is a complete hypothetical, but like if the Islanders were willing to trade Matt Barzal and he didn't have the Canucks on his no trade list and DPD was one of the pieces.
Okay.
You know, are you saying no to that to get Matt Barzal?
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I'm just saying, like, the untouchable thing is just, it's too far for me.
Yeah. Okay, this other thing, the tampering stuff.
With Rick Tocchet?
Yeah, and I do wish we would have asked Rutherford about that, too. Like, that's something that we wish we would have got to, but
it was one of the things I came away and I was like,
yeah, I wish we would have asked about
that. Wish we had a few more minutes.
Yeah. But I don't think it constitutes tampering, technically, because he's a free agent and he signed.
Yeah.
And I think the case would have to be made that there was communication and that it was proven, right? But the whole thing feels kind of gross.
We're going to go through the texts between Keith Jones and Rick Tocchet?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to get to that point. I don't think the NHL is going to confiscate their cell phones. Ask Brady for his cell phone. Remember all that, right? Go through.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen in this case. But I think that's what would have to be proven, that there were discussions and there was already an understanding while he was under contract with the Canucks. But if that didn't happen, then you can't really prove tampering in that regard. But the whole thing doesn't feel very good, right?
No.
Like, the optics look terrible.
It's very, it's very convenient the way it all played out.
Well, it feels like the Flyers got their guy and the Canucks just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, somebody stole your girl and you just kind of like, okay.
Yeah. And I know it's more than that because they pushed back initially.
Yeah.
But I think the respect was so high between, you know,
I mean, the moment that job came open, there's a reason why there were so many connections for Rick Tocchet and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Not just their front office with Keith Jones, him and Tocchet go way back. But it was just obvious that this was going to be a potential fit for Tocchet, who was coming to the end of his contract that only had an option year remaining.
But here's the thing. It's not tampering if media talks about it.
No.
And people report on it and think, I can see this happening. Like, that's not tampering.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it's frustrating.
It's also like one of those things. It's not really tampering if Tocchet sort of just understands that that's going to be a potential destination for him.
For sure. And I know that this text here says, if the tampering stuff is true, then why did Tocchet interview for the Anaheim job? You can easily say that if they were tampering and you wanted to prove that they weren't tampering, you would take your time before signing. You would go through the process of talking to other teams, right? To make it seem like there's no tampering going on.
Yeah.
You're covering your tracks. But that's a very cynical way of looking at it. Right, because now you're assuming somebody is being dishonest, and you're assuming their actions are dishonest, right? And that's taking leaps and making assumptions, and I don't think that's fair. But yeah, the whole thing doesn't feel good. Like I don't feel good about the whole thing.
Yeah,
like, and I want to kind of, you know, get the team's perspective on it, because we heard the whole Philly ties the whole time.
Yeah,
and talk it slow played it. They say, I don't want to talk contract during the year. We'll figure it out later. Oh yeah, like, I think I'm going to come back, or, you know, there are a lot of things we're going to work it out. It'll be all right. And it's like, yeah, I'm gone.
Yeah. See ya.
You know, so the whole thing doesn't feel good.
It does not. But Unfortunately, we did not have the time to ask Jim Rutherford earlier today. You can find that on the podcast from earlier. There was a lot of good in there. Intel on Quinn Hughes, the offseason, how aggressive they're going to be. A lot in the conversation with Jim Rutherford. You can check it out there on the podcast. Plus, Victor Mancini joined us, and Abbotsford will kick off their next round of the Calder Cup playoffs tomorrow at the Abbotsford Center against the Colorado Eagles. A lot on the podcast for you to indulge. For producers Ben and Elon, my co-host Sat, I am Dan. You've been listening to Canuck Central.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd
and Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.